two places. Matthew chapter 12, that's the easy one to find. And then the book of Jonah. The book of Jonah chapter 1. And Jonah, if you've got a Scofield Bible, is on page 944. So find those two places before we read this morning, and then that'll help you later on. Now, I preached on this subject a few years ago, and I really prayed about it. I kept coming back to this, and just felt like the Lord would have me to preach along these lines again. And so some of you will probably recognize some of the things, but I think this is so very important and overlooked in our day and time that I just couldn't get away from it. I tried. I really tried to make sure this was the Lord's will for today. So I desire your prayers that the Lord would help us. But I'm going to start by reading in Jonah chapter 1. And I'm just going to read one verse, and then we'll go to the Lord in prayer. Jonah chapter 1. I'll give you just a moment. You're doing pretty good. I don't hear many pages. So we're going to read verse 17. Jonah chapter 1, verse 17. The Bible said, "Now the Lord had prepared a great fish to swallow up Jonah. And Jonah was in the belly of the fish 3 days and three nights." Let's pray. Lord, I do want to thank you for letting us be here today and the many blessings that you've given to us. And Lord, I want to thank you for your word. I want to thank you that every word is true. And Lord, we can trust what the Bible says. And what the Bible says, it says for a reason, specifically for a reason. And dear God, I'm glad that the more we study your word, the more that we see how true it is. And Lord, I pray that you'd help us to be a people that would be a people of the Bible. That, Lord, we would love your word and we would go to your word. And Lord, we'd be guided and directed by what the Bible says for our lives. And that we would take it, Lord, as truth. And dear God, as we come today, I pray for liberty. I pray that you would speak to our hearts. I pray that it would be fresh and real to us. Lord, we have a lot of things in the church that we're praying about. A lot of heavy hearts this morning over different things. God, you know each and every one. I want to especially pray for Miss Linda in the hospital. And dear God, I pray for Johnny. God, that you would be with him as only you can and help them today. Lord, we'll thank you for all that you do. We come asking it in Jesus' name and amen.
All right, we're going to read verse 17 one more time, just one verse. The book of Jonah is a small book in the Bible, but what a great message. Jonah chapter 1, verse 17. "Now the Lord had prepared a great fish to swallow up Jonah, and Jonah was in the belly of the fish 3 days and three nights." And that'd be the title of the message today. What I want to preach on this subject of 3 days and three nights. And so 3 days, and you might want to underline that in your Bible, Jonah was in the belly of the fish 3 days and three nights. When the Bible says something, it says it for a reason. And what we want to begin by saying today, most of you probably realize and you've heard over the past few days a lot of talk about a Good Friday, a last Friday in the newspaper, and I get the Winston-Salem Journal. And every year on Friday before Easter, they'll run a front page story, something to do about Good Friday. And this year it had to do with people going into local prison and having communion and sort of depicting the Last Supper. And so that's what it was about this year. And then there's a lot of talk and there's Good Friday sales and there's all kinds of things about Good Friday. And one of the most bothersome, I'm going to say it like that, but it bothers me to hear Christians say something like, "Friday's here, but Sunday's coming." Talking about Good Friday. The world puts the crucifixion on Friday, and the resurrection on Sunday morning. So, and there might even been a song a few years ago, "Friday's here, but Sunday's a coming. Now, I wouldn't get mad at somebody that said that, but I would just say they didn't know what the Bible says about this. They don't understand what the Bible is teaching when it talks about. Look at verse 17. Now the Lord had prepared a great fish to swallow up Jonah, and Jonah was in the belly of the fish 3 days and three nights. Now, what if I told you that Jonah was swallowed on Friday evening and he was unswallowed? That's a nice way to say it. Early Sunday morning. What if I told you that? Look at chapter 2, verse 10, or chapter 3, verse 10, I believe it is. Where's it? Or chapter 2, verse 10. It said, and the Lord spake unto the fish, and it vomited out Jonah upon the dry land. That's what the Bible says. But if I told you that was 3 days and three nights, you'd look at me and you'd say, you're missing something there. You cannot count correctly. You're not counting the days and the nights. If I told you that was 3 days and three nights, what if I told you? Now, when I was in the Air Force, every once in a while, we'd have a three-day weekend. I'm telling you, I love three-day weekends. And most people do. And if they came in and told us we was going to have a three-day weekend, we would work harder. And we would try to have everything ship-shape so that they would let us go for that three-day weekend. But if the sergeant came in and he said, we're going to have a three-day weekend this weekend, and I'm going to let you off Friday evening about 6 o'clock, and we're not going to start back till Sunday morning, early, we'd go away and we'd say, that's the military for you. Get your hopes all up until you're going to get something and then shortchange you. Because everybody would know, if that was concerning your three-day weekend, that there's no way you get 3 days out of that. You get three names of days. A little bit of Friday, all day Saturday, and a little bit of Sunday. But that is not 3 days and three nights. And yet there are millions of people around the world that accept Good Friday to Sunday or Easter Sunday. Now, part of the problem with that is that's one of the first government holidays that have ever been instituted. Now, if the government can mess something up, it will. It's the Roman government. And Easter is a Roman thing. It's actually a pagan thing. And we only find it one time in the Bible, and it's reference to a pagan holiday. We're not celebrating really Easter today, but at the time of Passover, every year, and I'll show you from the Bible, we can celebrate a day that the Lord came forth out of the grave. Resurrection Sunday, Resurrection Day, but millions of people accept that. Paul said over in 1 Thessalonians, he said, I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren. I don't want to be ignorant concerning anything. And if I was on the outside looking in, and I heard Christians talk about Jesus being crucified and 3 days and three nights, and they was talking about from Friday to Sunday, I think I would have enough sense to know and to recognize that's not 3 days and three nights. So we want to look in the Word of God, and I want to show you something. It's very, very important at what the Bible says. Now, we've read here, the Bible said, and Jonah was in the belly of the fish 3 days and three nights. First thing I want to point out is that Jonah was the prophet of the sign. Look over in Matthew chapter number 12. Now, we know Jonah was 3 days and three nights. That's what the Bible says. But I want to read to you what the Lord Jesus said about Jonah over in Matthew chapter number 12. People say, well, I don't believe about Jonah and the whale. The Lord did. Jesus did. Matthew chapter number 12, verse number 38. Look what the Bible says. Now, this is the Lord Jesus. And the Bible said in verse 38, then certain of the scribes and of the Pharisees answered, saying, Master, we would see a sign from thee. They were always looking for a sign from the Lord. Now, if they wanted to see, they could have seen. He raised the dead, opened blinded eyes, caused the deaf where they could hear. There was plenty of evidence that the Lord was the Messiah.
But they were never satisfied. They said, we want to see a sign. Verse 39, but he answered and said unto them, an evil and adulterous generation seeketh after a sign. There shall no sign be given to it, but the sign of the prophet Jonas. He's referring them back to Jonah. Look what it said in verse 40. For as Jonas was 3 days and 3 nights in the whale's belly, so shall the Son of Man be 3 days and 3 nights in the heart of the earth. Now Jonah in his life, and especially being swallowed and unswallowed, he is a type, he is a picture of the death, the burial, and the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. And he was a sign. He was a sign. You say, why did that happen to Jonah? Because Jonah was to be a sign of the death, the burial, and the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, Jonah is a type of that. There's a great storm upon the sea in the book of Jonah I'm talking about. And Jonah was running from God. And Jonah knew that the storm was because of him. And he finally convinced those fellas. He said, if you'll throw me overboard, the storm will cease. And so those sailors, they didn't want to do that, but they consented. And they threw Jonah overboard. And as soon as they did, the storm began to cease. Now, nobody, when they threw Jonah over the side of the ship, said, he'll be all right. Especially when that big fish came and whoosh. You ever seen on National Geographic where it comes out of the water? That's I imagine. And you know, when they saw that, they didn't say, he'll be all right. When they saw Jonah thrown over in the storm into the sea, and when they saw the great fish come and swallow him up, they took their hats off, had a moment of silence. Because they knew Jonah's a goner. Jonah's a dead man. Jonah is a type of the death, the burial. The Bible says in chapter 2 that that great fish took him down to the depths. It's a type of death. Then 3 days later, that fish vomited Jonah out. If that is not a picture of a death, a burial, and a resurrection, I don't know what is. Jonah went through those experiences because he would become a type of the Lord Jesus Christ. And Jesus told the Pharisees in verse 40, for as Jonas was 3 days and 3 nights in the whale's belly, look what it says, so shall. Exactly like it was with Jonah, it's going to be with me. So shall the Son of Man be 3 days and 3 nights in the heart of the earth. There is no way to get 3 days and 3 nights from Friday to Sunday. You cannot even get parts of days to make up 3 days and 3 nights, or days of, no matter which way you look at it, it is only 2 full nights and 1 full day. Talking about from Friday to Sunday. No wonder a lot of people don't believe the Word of God. They look at things and they say that doesn't make any sense. But if you study the Bible and believe what it says, it'll make perfect sense. Now, Jonah was a prophet of the sign. Second of all, let's look here in Matthew chapter number 12 at the plain words of Scripture. Jesus said, so shall the Son of Man be 3 days and 3 nights in the heart of the earth. That's very plain. That's very easy to understand. And the Lord told him not one time, but several times, 3 days. 3 nights. Look at chapter 16, verse number 21, what the Bible says. We're in Matthew. Matthew chapter 16, verse number 21. Now, we'll not go back to the book of Jonah, so we're going to look here in the Gospels a little bit. Matthew chapter 16, verse number 21. From that time forth began Jesus to show unto his disciples how that he must go unto Jerusalem and suffer many things of the elders and chief priests and scribes, and be killed and be raised again the third day. Look at chapter 17, verse number 23, what the Bible says over there. Chapter 17, verse 23, and they shall kill him, and the third day he shall be raised again. They were exceeding sorry. It's what the Bible says. Mark chapter 8, verse 31. And after 3 days, rise again. Mark chapter 10, verse 34. And the third day he shall rise again. The scripture was very plain concerning the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. It was not something that he kept secret from them. But he told them over and over again, I'm going to Jerusalem. They're going to kill me. But on the third day, I'm going to get up out of that grave. He told them over and over. Look at Matthew chapter 27. Even the enemies of the Lord knew about this thing about the third day. Matthew chapter 27. I like to preach and look in the Bible. You didn't come to hear me tell stories. I hope you come to hear what the Bible has to say. Matthew chapter number 27 and verse number 62. Look what the Bible says over there. Matthew 27, 62. Now the next day that followed the day of the preparation, the chief priests and Pharisees came together unto Pilate, saying, Sir, we remember that deceiver said while he was yet alive. Now, this is after they had already buried him. And the next day they came before Pilate. We remember while he was alive what he said. After 3 days I will rise again. Command therefore that the sepulcher be made sure until the third day. Even the enemies knew that the Lord Jesus had prophesied that 3 days and three nights, and on that third day, he was going to get up out of that grave. The unbelievers understood that. What this means in a nutshell is simply this. I'm going to give it to you, and then I'm going to show you from the Word of God. It means that Jesus was crucified not on a Friday, but on a Wednesday. The Lord Jesus was crucified on Wednesday. He was placed in the tomb that night, what we would call that evening. And he spent Wednesday night, Thursday night, and Friday night in the tomb. That's three nights. Jesus' body was all day on Thursday, Friday, and Saturday in the grave. And the resurrection was at the end of the Sabbath on Saturday. That is exactly 3 days and three nights what the Bible says. A lot of Christians would even have the Lord Jesus 3 days and three nights and part of another night. They won't let the Lord get out of the grave till early Sunday morning. But the Lord got up Saturday night. We'll show you this from the Word of God. So just think about that. That's just a quick explanation. There's the plain words of Scripture. Now, there is the subject of the Passover and the Savior. Most of you probably know. 1 Corinthians 5 and verse 7 says, For even Christ our Passover was sacrificed for us. The Lord Jesus for us, He became our Passover. For thousands of years, the Jews had celebrated every year, same time of the year, the Passover. But the Lord Jesus became that Passover lamb. So the Passover and the Savior, Jesus is our Passover. And the Lord Jesus ate the Passover meal and became the Passover lamb all in the same day. Look at Matthew chapter 26. We're going to start with verse number 17. Matthew chapter 26 and verse number 17, what the Bible says. It says, Now the first day of the feast of unleavened bread, the disciples came to Jesus, saying unto him, Where wilt thou that we prepare for thee to eat the Passover? Now they're going to observe the Passover. They're Jewish. And it's that time of the year. Verse 18, and he said, go into the city to such a man and say unto him, the master saith, my time is at hand. I will keep the Passover at thy house with my disciples. And the disciples did as Jesus had appointed them. And they made ready the Passover. Now when the even was come, he sat down with the 12. If you really want to study into this, you can go to Exodus chapter 12, 13, 14. Leviticus chapter number 23 explains the feast of unleavened bread and the Passover and all the particulars of it. But in Exodus chapter number 12, you learn that they ate the Passover every year during the same month on the 14th day of the month. Now, the Jewish people, their day begins at 6 p.m. in the evening. We are Gentiles. Our new day begins at midnight for us. But their day always began at sundown. And as you study the Word of God, you have to keep that in mind. Their day started at sundown or 6 p.m. Our day begins at midnight. It's different. When the Bible says in verse 17, 18, 19, they were looking, Lord, where do you want to eat the Passover? That was the last hours of Tuesday. If you study about the Jewish religion, they believed that they would actually kill and prepare the Passover at the last hours on the 13th so that they could immediately begin to eat the Passover on the 14th. This is why they came in the evening. It's the very end. It's a Tuesday evening. It's getting ready to be the Passover. Where are we going to eat the Passover at? Look at verse 21. And as they did eat, this is in the evening, early in the evening. As they did eat, he said, verily I say unto you that one of you shall betray me. When it says, and as they did eat, they were eating the Passover meal. This Friday, this past Friday was the Passover. And all around the world, Jews everywhere, they call it a Seder. And they sat down together and they eat the Passover. And every year they say the same thing and they say the same prayers. And they have a little saying at the end. They say, next year in Jerusalem. It's their desire. This has just went on all around the world. It's been done for thousands and thousands of years. And that's what Jesus and the disciples were doing. And as they did eat, he said, verily I say unto you that one of you shall betray me. Now they had the Passover meal. But look down in verse 26. We're going to hurriedly go through the evening of the Passover. In verse 26, as they were eating the Passover is what that means. Jesus took bread and blessed it and broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, take, eat, this is my body. What we find here and in the following verses, we find that after the Passover, the Lord instituted what we know as the Lord's Supper. When we come together and have communion, that was instituted after they had the Passover meal. Look at verse number 30. And when they'd sung a hymn, they went out into the Mount of Olives. After they'd got done eating, they went out into the Mount of Olives. Verse 31. Then saith Jesus unto them, all ye shall be offended because of me this night. For it is written, I will smite the shepherd, and the sheep of the flock shall be scattered abroad. That was getting ready to happen. Look down in verse number 36. They went out into the Mount of Olives, but by the time you get to verse 36, then cometh Jesus with them unto a place called Gethsemane, and saith unto the disciples, sit ye here while I go and pray yonder. This all happened that very night. And if we read on down, Three times the Lord went to pray. And during his time of prayer in the Garden of Gethsemane, the Bible says that his sweat was, as it were, great drops of blood falling down to the ground. He was in such agony. Oh, you say, what's the big deal? He's about to be made sin for us. He who had never known any sin. Now, all we know is sin. We know what it is to sin. We know what it is to disobey God. We're sinners by birth. We're sinners by choice. We're sinners by nature. We're used to it. But the Lord Jesus had never sinned. But he's getting ready to become sin. He's getting ready to pay for our sins upon Calvary. And all of our sin is going to be placed upon him. It's an actual medical condition. It's called something like hematidrosis. I probably mispronounced that. But somebody can become in such agony and come to a state where their blood vessels actually burst and they sweat blood. And that's what was happening in the Garden of Gethsemane there. The Lord Jesus actually sweated blood. Three times he went to pray, and two times the disciples fell asleep. And so we read on down in verse number 47. Look what the Bible says. And while he yet spake, lo, Judas, one of the 12, came, and with him a great multitude with swords and staves from the chief priests and elders of the people. Judas came and betrayed the Lord Jesus Christ with a kiss. They arrested him. Look over in verse number 57. They hauled him away to a trial. Verse 57. And they that had laid hold on Jesus led him away to Caiaphas, the high priest, where the scribes and the elders were assembled. And if we were to take time to read on down, they had a trial that lasted all night long. They stayed up all night. Look over in chapter 27, verse number 1. They were in a hurry to convict and have the Lord Jesus Christ crucified. They broke a lot of Jewish laws in that they could not find two witnesses that would agree together concerning anything. But they crucified him anyway. Chapter 27, verse 1. Look what the Bible says. When the morning was come, this is the next morning. They've been up all night long. All the chief priests and elders of the people took counsel together against Jesus to put him to death. When they'd bound him, they led him away and delivered him to Pontius Pilate, the governor. Pontius Pilate was actually the one that had the authority to put him to death. The Jews were under Roman rule and they couldn't do that. They had to have Pilate's consent. So they condemned him to death, but they still had to get Pilate on board. So they led him away to Pilate, the Bible says. This is early the next morning. Look at chapter 27, verse 27. The Bible said, then the soldiers of the governor took Jesus into the common hall and gathered unto him the whole band of soldiers. And they stripped him and put on him a scarlet robe. When they'd plaited a crown of thorns, they put it upon his head and a reed in his right hand, and they bowed the knee before him and mocked him, saying, Hail, King of the Jews. They spit upon him and took the reed and smote him on the head. That's how they treated the Lord. And of all the things that they did to the Lord Jesus, I think what bothers me the most is that they spit on him. That bothers me. It's all troubling. They spit on him. They took the reed, verse 31. After they had mocked him, they took a robe off from him and put on his own raiment on him and led him away to crucify him. And as they came out, they found a man of Cyrene, Simon by name. Him they compelled to bear his cross. And when they were come unto a place called Golgotha, that is to say, a place of a skull. They gave him vinegar to drink, mingled with gall. When he had tasted thereof, he would not drink. And they crucified him, and parted his garments, casting lots, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the prophet. They parted my garments among them, and upon my vesture they did cast lots. And sitting down, they watched him there. They crucified the Lord Jesus. When it says in verse 35, and they crucified him, Mark chapter 15, verse 25 says, and it was the third hour, and they crucified him. That was 9 o'clock in the morning. All these events took place from one evening to the next morning. They sat down, had the Passover meal, 6 p.m. By 9 a.m. the next morning, Jesus was on the cross. All that happened in a matter of hours. Look on over to verse 45, what the Bible says. Now from the sixth hour, there was darkness over all the land unto the ninth hour. That's from 12 p.m. to 3 p.m. the next afternoon. All the same day, Jesus was on the cross for 6 hours. And all these events took place in that period of time. Less than one day, Jesus ate the Passover, but in the same time, he became the Passover. And if you really want to get a blessing, and I don't have time to preach it this morning, back and read Exodus 12 and 13 and 14. And during the same hour of time span as the Lord Jesus was getting ready to go to the cross, the Passover, the death angel went through the land of Egypt, and all the firstborn died. The Bible says at midnight the angel passed over, and by the next morning, Pharaoh, he was kicking them out of the land. If you look at the same time, Jesus was the Passover. He was getting ready to die for our sins, to be judged for our sins, but Israel was getting delivered. If Jesus didn't go to the cross, you and I couldn't be delivered from sin. We could not be delivered from the bondage of sin. Well, there's the Passover and the Savior. Number four, there's the particulars of the Sabbath. Now, you need to understand this. That during the days that the Lord Jesus was crucified, there were actually two Sabbath days that week. Look in Mark chapter number 15. You're still following along, aren't you? All right, there was two Sabbath days when Jesus was crucified. The day after the 14th day, which was the Passover day, was always a Sabbath day. So Jesus was crucified on Passover day. The next day was always a Sabbath day. Now I'm just going to read to you Leviticus chapter 23 and verse 5. The Bible said, in the 14th day of the first month at evening is the Lord's Passover. And on the 15th day of the same month is the feast of unleavened bread unto the Lord. 7 days ye must eat unleavened bread. In the first day ye shall have an holy convocation. Ye shall do no servile work therein. The next day was the Sabbath day. It was an extra, we would say an extra holiday. Sabbath day. The next day. This is why they were trying to get all this done in one day, because it was against the law for a body to hang on a cross on a Sabbath day. So in one sense, they're in a hurry to obey the law, but then they killed Jesus unjustly. But they got to clean this mess up and get him buried, because the next day is a Sabbath day. And if Jesus was on the cross till 3 p.m., they had to do it in a hurry. They're in a hurry to get rid of the body of the Lord Jesus. Look at Mark chapter 15, verse number 42. The Bible said, and now when the even was come, because it was the preparation, that is, the day before the Sabbath. They're in a hurry because the Sabbath is getting ready to happen. So that leads into verse number 43. Joseph of Arimathea, an honorable counselor, which also waited for the kingdom of God, came and went in boldly unto Pilate and craved the body of Jesus. And Pilate marveled if he were already dead. And calling unto him the centurion, he asked him whether he had been any while dead. When he knew it of the centurion, he gave the body to Joseph, and he brought fine linen and took him down and wrapped him in linen and laid him in a sepulcher which was hewn out of a rock and rolled a stone under the door of the sepulcher. And Mary Magdalene and Mary the mother of Joseph beheld where he was laid. They knew where the tomb was. But Joseph was in a hurry. And he hurriedly got the body of Jesus, and he hurriedly wrapped it up, and he hurriedly put it in his own sepulcher because the Sabbath day was coming so quickly. John 19:31 says that that Sabbath day was a high day. That means it was an extra Sabbath day. So Jesus was crucified and buried on a Wednesday evening, all very hurriedly. Thursday, the next day, was a Sabbath day. The Jews could not work or do anything on a Sabbath day. That was the Thursday. The Friday was a normal work day. That's what we would call it. The Friday that the Lord was in the tomb was a normal day. Then the next day was Saturday. Saturday is always the Sabbath day. That is the weekly Sabbath day, and they were not to work on that day. Now look in Matthew chapter 28. And I'll just show you some things and I'll be done this morning. Matthew chapter number 28 is unique to all the other accounts of the resurrection. It's different from Mark, John, and Luke. And I'll show you several ways where it is different. Now, they did come to the tomb early in the morning on Sunday, but Jesus was not there. Jesus was not in the tomb throughout that Saturday night. Now, let me show you some things in Matthew 28. The Bible said, and notice how it says this. This is very important. In the end of the Sabbath, that is Saturday. And the end is Saturday evening. It's getting close to sundown. That is when these ladies came to the tomb. In the end of the Sabbath. Now look what it says. As it began to dawn toward the first day of the week. Now when we hear the word dawn, we think of the sun coming up. But it's not talking about the sun, S-U-N. We're talking about the sun, S-O-N. The first day of the week is always Sunday. And the dawning of a new day was coming. It was almost Sunday. Their day begins at 6 p.m. So it said, when it says in the end of the Sabbath, as it began to dawn toward the first day of the week, it's almost Sunday, which to them is a normal day. Came Mary Magdalene and the other Mary, look what the Bible says, to see the sepulcher. They didn't come to do anything because it was still the Sabbath day and they were prohibited from doing anything. Now in the morning, some of them's going to come and bring spices. Because Jesus was buried so hurriedly that it wasn't done right and they wanted it to be done right. But they didn't have time for 3 days. They'd had to wait till Sunday morning. That's why they brought spices in the other accounts on the Sunday morning. But here they just came to see the sepulcher. That's unique to all the others. Look at verse 2. And behold, there's a great earthquake. This great earthquake doesn't happen in Mark, Luke, or John. It only happens here in Matthew. There's a great earthquake. For the angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door and sat upon it. That doesn't happen in any of the others. In the others, when they came, the stone had already been rolled away. He got rolled away the night before by an angel. Verse number 3, the Bible said his countenance was like lightning and his raiment white as snow. And for fear of him, the keepers did shake and became as dead men. Hey, that has scared you to death too. And that's my interpretation. But I believe that's what that's saying. It scared them to the point that they passed out. In verse 5, and the angel answered and said unto the women, fear not ye, for I know that ye seek Jesus which was crucified. I like verse 6. He is not here, for he is risen as he said. Come, see the place where the Lord lay. That is exactly 3 days and 3 nights. That is the only way that works out to be 3 days and 3 nights. Now I want to say this and I'll close. What's the purpose of all that? Why does it matter? Why does it matter if it's Friday to Sunday or what does it matter? All that matters is that he got up out of the grave, isn't it? The Bible says this in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, that the gospel is that Jesus died for our sins according to Scriptures, and that he was buried and that he rose again the third day according to, not what the calendar says, according to what the Bible says, according to the Scriptures. Now, if the Scriptures are wrong concerning 3 days and 3 nights, how could I believe the Bible concerning anything else? What if the Bible said 3 days and 3 nights, but it's Friday to Sunday? That's not 3 days and 3 nights. Then the Bible would be wrong. And if the Bible's wrong on one thing, how do you know it's not wrong on everything? But you know what? It's right on the most important thing. And it's right on everything else. But if it was wrong on this, I could not trust the Bible to be true. Because if it's wrong there, how could I believe what it said about salvation? If it's wrong about 3 days and 3 nights, then how do I really know that Jesus died for my sins according to the Scriptures? How could I trust that if I will believe upon the Lord Jesus with all of my heart that I'll be saved? If it was wrong on these little things, how could I trust Him on the big things? You know one of the most exciting things about the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ? Is that you and I that are saved by the grace of God will be resurrected one day. We believe with all of our hearts that one day we'll see our loved ones that died in Christ. But if the Bible was wrong about that, how could I believe that? 19 years ago today, our daughter passed away. She died on April 5th. But she's not dead. She's alive. She's the only child we have that we don't worry about. She's all right. We'll see her again one day. I believe we'll see Grandma and Grandpa and all those that died in Christ and went to be with Him. Say, how come you believe that, preacher? Because the Bible's right. In everything it says, if you test it, if you try it, if you study it out, you'll find the Bible's right. You'll find there's a whole lot of things that the world says about the Bible that they've just got wrong. I heard a few years ago, and I heard even again this past weekend, the Pope, he gave a big speech, and he was talking about those in the world that were downtrodden and in economic hardship, and he said that we should take courage during these hard economic times in the sufferings of Christ. Jesus didn't die that we might have a better job. He died for our sins. I heard somebody talking about how that Jesus dying on the cross would encourage us when we're going through hard times in our life and cause us to have a better outlook. Jesus didn't die so we could have a good day tomorrow. He died so we wouldn't have to die and go to hell. He died for our sins. That is why Jesus died upon the cross and was buried and rose again the third day. He died so we could be saved. That's the good news of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. 1 Corinthians 1:18 said, "For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness." A lot of people hear about the gospel and they say, "That's foolish." But unto us which are saved, it is the power of God. I heard the gospel one time and it got in my heart and changed my life. That was a man that was dead, but he's alive again. That's the Lord Jesus. That's what he can do for us. That's why he died upon the cross and was buried, rose again the third day. Everything in the Bible is important and means something. I'd like for us to have our heads bowed, our eyes closed.